Over the course of 5 novels, David Payne's writing has garnered wide praise. Now he has written a memoir of brotherhood, grief, and mental illness. The new book is Barefoot to Avalon. In it, Payne looks at the life and tragic death of his younger brother, George A., painting a portrait of his late brother that is gorgeously rendered, as it is heartbreaking. Again, the title of the book is Barefoot to Avalon, A Brother's Story. David Payne, welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
I'm very happy to be here, Joe. Thanks for having me.
At what point was it that you knew you wanted to write about this, or you knew even that you were going to write about this?
Well, in 2006, I was at a book event in Pawleys Island, South Carolina, and I came back to the hotel where I was staying and sat down. And it was like I heard this voice said, it's time to write about George A. It was 6 years after his death in the accident. I had not been thinking of writing a book about him. I didn't know what sort of book I would write. But suddenly it was as though I got an assignment from somewhere, and all of my books have had some sort of a feeling like that at the beginning of them.
It was 2000, while moving from Vermont to North Carolina. You were watching from your rearview mirror as your younger brother, George A., was driving behind you in this convoy of rental trucks, lost control of the vehicle, flipped over in the road, and died instantly. You write that had, I mean, obviously, had an immediate impact on you, but then the ramifications were, and the ripples lasted a very long time.
My whole life went into a decline from that point. I think my drinking went off the rails. I became an alcoholic. My marriage disintegrated. My career was in trouble. And I think the bottom was that moment that I just described about that decision to look at the thing, look at it clearly, and I had to go back, and everything that I was trying to avoid and had been in denial about, I had to look at it squarely. There's an exercise that for many years that I've given to, it was originally given to me by one of my creative writing professors, and I've used it with students, and the exercise is to write a letter that says the thing you most need to say and could never say to the person you most need to say it to. And over time, as I began this book, I realized that in some sense it was my letter to my brother. It was my letter to my family. In some deep way, it was a letter to myself, and then ultimately, I hope, to readers. What I've experienced over the years is that when people bring those letters into the classroom and these things that they've hidden and the things that are most shame-tinged and difficult to talk about or never talked about, when people take that step and reveal them in a room, it becomes, as one of my students once said, almost like church. So my hope was that if I went deep enough and exposed myself enough, that instead of being just simply weird and personal and non-applicable to others, it would resonate at a universal level. So that was what I aimed for.
For you, what you're coming to grips with ultimately is your brother's bipolar depression and its impact on you and where you fit into that story.
Right. I think in families with mental illness, there are so many of us, there was a dynamic between my brother and me. I was the older brother in that pair. And so my younger brother, once he became impaired, even though he had a good life, a rich, high-functioning life for many, many years, he would periodically have episodes, breakdowns. But, you know, so much of the family attention, resources, and so on would be focused on the ill or needy one. And I think that's a And of course, the person who is not in that condition feels, well, my brother's sick. I can't, you know, be angry or resentful about that. And yet, there's a disproportion. I think that story goes back to Cain and Abel. But anyway, there's sibling love, sibling rivalry. It's one of the oldest stories.
When did you first realize or even understand that your brother was different, that he had an illness?
He had his first episode in high school when he was 17, and this was 1975. We didn't know what it was. The doctors didn't know what it was. It was five more years after that. So he had an episode. He recovered. The doctors said, well, maybe he smoked some pot and had a bad reaction to that. So we thought perhaps it was a one-time occurrence. And then he recovered. He went to college. He was hired by Merrill Lynch straight out of the University of North Carolina. He went to Atlanta, and he had an episode there. And then that was when he was diagnosed. And still, as a family, it was a very long time before we began to understand, what this meant. So the title image, Barefoot to Avalon, refers to Avalon Pier on the Outer Banks in North Carolina. We used to spend summers there, and the picture on the cover of the book shows George A., my brother, sort of a beautiful, tall, strapping boy of 17 with his shirt off, standing on the beach, just after he and I have taken a run from our house 2 miles down to Avalon Pier and 2 miles back. We did that almost every day that summer, and he was trying to get in shape to play football at his high school. And so I would pace him to the pier and about halfway back, and then I would take off. And then one day, about this time of year, when I kicked it in that last stretch, he kicked it beside me, and suddenly we were in this grueling race, and both of us were giving it everything we had. In the last 20 yards or so, he pulled away from me and beat me. And he went back to school. He got a starting position on the team and called me once at college, where I was at college, and thanked me, told me he had an 11-tackle game, and he had a bit of a glory season there, and that toward the end of that season was when he had this first episode that we did not understand what it was at the time.
So that image on the front cover of the book, you write, if George A. is cheerful here and full of beans, it's because we've just come from a run down to the pier at Avalon and back. And today, for the first time, he's beaten me. Here's looking at you, Big Bra, he's saying with that grin and little squint. This one's for you, DP. My reply, delivered wordlessly and kind, enjoy it while it lasts. The camera clicks. Does that really sum up the relationship at that point?
I think it captures us in a moment where I think in one point in the book I say, I, against the whole outside other world, I wanted us to win. I wanted him to win, but when it came to the two of us, I wanted to crush him in the dust. And I think, in the same way that he wanted to beat me in that race on the beach. So there were both things going on there. There was love and there was rivalry. And that was the first scene that I wrote in the book, and I didn't think of it as particularly important, but over time, perhaps a year or two into the writing, I realized that image of a race spoke to our whole lives together. It was a metaphor for our whole lives together. Professionally, we were in something of a race, and personally, we were in something of a race. So that was why I chose to make that the title.
There is a section toward the end of the book, which is beautifully written, and I don't want to ruin anything for the reader, so I won't read it. But you're basically saying you're sorry to your brother, and saying sorry that you weren't a better man and a better brother to him, and you're speaking directly to him. Talk a little bit about how you came to ultimately that feeling of how you let him down.
In my brother's early 30s, he had a very bad episode, and until that, he had been married, he had children, he was a successful stockbroker, he had a very good rich life. And then after this last episode, he lost his job and his marriage ended, and he ended up going back home to live with our mother. And he had been there for 9 years by the time he came up to Vermont to help me. I had seen him fall and get up, rise from the ashes so many times before. I couldn't quite understand why he didn't recover this time. And so over the years, I wouldn't say that we became estranged, but we didn't talk as much, and I didn't go home as often. And so there we were, 9 years had passed, and we weren't, you know, we didn't talk that often. And suddenly there I was in Vermont, and I had a sudden crisis that came out of my profession. I had been working on a book for 4 years, and the publishers canceled the contract, and I owed them back a lot of money. And my ex-wife and I then decided to move back to North Carolina, and the question was, well, how are we going to get there? And the only way was to get a rental truck and pack it. And I was on the phone with my mother, and she said, well, why don't you ask George A. to help you? And not an hour later, the phone rang, and it was him offering to come up and help. So I think that I let that distance come between us, and I saw his love and his good intentions toward me in the way that he so quickly offered to come up. And we had these 8 days together where whatever estrangement there had been, it all melted away, and we packed the house together, and we ate garlic pizza at night, and we watched movies, and we played music for each other, and joked around in the same way that we always had. And then we set out in the caravan, and we spent the first night in Binghamton, New York, and the second day we drove, and we were 3 hours away from home when the accident occurred. So it was near Lexington, Virginia. So I'm sorry that in my apology to him, I'm sorry that I let that distance creep between us, and that I didn't understand as deeply as I wish I had what he alone of all of us was up against in his struggle with mental illness. And so that's what I meant in that passage.
One of the things that you take away from the book is somewhat obvious, which is that we never know the answers to the questions, but God, do we have a lot of questions when something like this happens? And of course, one of the questions you have is, because it seems so random, right? You're watching this in the rearview mirror, and this horrible accident happens. Then you wonder, well, okay, he has tried to take his own life before. Is that what he's doing now? Or was it just an accident? And then ultimately, does it really matter?
Right. Well, I've thought about that a lot. My brother did at one time try to commit suicide, and he did it in a car, and he did it in his early 30s. But the truth is, the accident did not have any, to my mind, did not suggest suicide in any way. His state of mind going up to the accident, and the fact that the way the accident occurred was, he's driving my Ford Explorer with a trailer. He drifts slightly over the line onto the shoulder. He overcompensates just a little bit coming back onto the highway, and suddenly the trailer began to sway, and the car went out of control. It just doesn't have the feeling of if someone were trying to deliberately kill himself. That I don't think it would occur that way. So that's my I don't believe it was.
What do you hope people take from the book?
Well, I think in all of our families, we have these hidden secret places that where we spend so much of our thought and time and energy, and so much of our suffering and so much of our joy. And I hope that it will resonate that my place, which I've tried to put on the page, will resonate with that place in other people, and that there will be something in there that binds us all together as human beings, in the way that I have felt bound by the stories of my students in that classroom when it feels like church. So I guess my ultimate hope is that readers have that type of experience with the story.
David Payne's new book is Barefoot to Avalon, A Brother's Story. He will be at Northshire Bookstore on Friday, September 11th at 6 o'clock, and you can find out more information about that event by going to northshire.com. Northshire.com. Again, the title of the book is Barefoot to Avalon, A Brother's Story. David Payne, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I do appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, David Payne, this Friday, September 11th at Northshire Bookstore, northshire.com, for more information. The title of the book, Barefoot to Avalon. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.